the Bible explains to us that God, the Holy Spirit, gives spiritual gifts to believers. Some of those gifts are very practical. Some of those gifts are more what we would call spiritual. Some of them seem to be something of offices that people would hold. Other times they seem to be supernatural enablings for a moment. But one of the most interesting, controversial, and unusual of those spiritual gifts is the spiritual gift that we're going to take a look at tonight. It's known as the gift of tongues. Now, as we teach on this tonight, or as I teach on it tonight, I'm going to depart from my comfort zone in teaching. And departing from my comfort zone in teaching means that I'm not going to teach verse by verse through a section of the Bible. Even though, if I were, I'd be teaching verse by verse through 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Because it is an amazing section that talks about the gift of tongues. Here's one of the reasons why I'm not teaching verse by verse through 1 Corinthians 14 tonight is to truly do the chapter justice would take longer than I have here on a single Wednesday night. So what I want to do is something that I think is valuable in a different way. I want to talk to you simply about six principles about the gift of tongues. And what we're going to do is we're going to reference many different passages of Scripture. For those of you who are here right now, it's, of course, if you're listening by audio recording, it wouldn't really matter. But for those of you who can see this, the Scriptures will be put up on our projection walls. But you can write down the Scripture either from what I say or from what you see on our screens. But I just want to walk you through six important principles regarding the gift of tongues. However, we should probably begin with something even more basic. What is the gift of tongues? Here's my definition. The gift of tongues is a Holy Spirit-inspired ability to pray, praise, or speak to God in a language unknown to the one who speaks. Let me read that again. I would define the gift of tongues like this. The gift of tongues is a Holy Spirit-inspired ability to pray, praise, or speak to God in a language unknown to the one speaking. It would be as if there were some Asian language, say, such as Mandarin, and if I were to just instantly begin saying praises to God in Mandarin, having never known the language before. That's what the gift of tongues is. Now, I think we need to begin at a very basic place when we consider this. This is strange, isn't it? It is a strange thing. I don't know how familiar you are with other languages, how much you've been around them, how much you've been around really unfamiliar languages, because let's take Spanish, for example. Now, I'm not a Spanish speaker, but Spanish is not a completely foreign language to me. If somebody's speaking Spanish, I can pick out a few words along the way, but there's other languages in the world. I couldn't tell you anything. I couldn't tell you where the sentence begins. I couldn't tell you where it ends. I couldn't make heads or tails or any of it. Now, the gift of tongues is the ability to speak coherently, maybe not eloquently, maybe not in Shakespearean equivalent of whatever that language is, but the ability to at least adequately express oneself in a language that they do not know. This is strange. And we must admit that if you take a look at some other religions, some other spiritual traditions, some of them very strange, there are similar practices within some other religions and spiritual traditions. And this might make us say, look, this is a little bit weird. Maybe we shouldn't have anything to do with this. Maybe we should just all regard this as something from the devil. And maybe we would if the New Testament did not speak about this very clearly and repeatedly. There are more than 9 different New Testament passages. And I'm talking about passages, not just verses. But there's at least 9 different New Testament passages that speak of the believer's gift of the Holy Spirit to speak and to praise God in a tongue, in a language that they did not previously know. Jesus mentioned it in Mark chapter 16. It's manifest in the book of Acts in chapter 2 when the gospel first came to the Samaritans, when it first came to the Gentiles. It's exemplified many times in the book of 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It is listed as a spiritual gift, not only the tongue itself, but then also the interpretation of tongues. So there is so much biblical weight that even though we might say, hey, look, this sounds a little strange, I don't think we have to be afraid of saying that about some things in the Christian life, but there's a lot of Bible behind this. What do we need to learn from this? Okay, so after that, here's six principles about the gift of tongues. Number one, the gift of tongues is a language. The Greek word glossa simply means language. We translated the gift of tongues, but it would be entirely fair, entirely correct from a Greek perspective to translate it the gift of language or the gift of languages. The gift of tongues is a language. And this is what I mean by that. It is not Babel, or at least the true gift of tongues is not the babble of meaningless sounds. It is, in fact, a language. That's the first thing we understand about the gift of tongues. And we understand that not from any particular chapter or verse, but from every time in the New Testament where the gift of tongues is mentioned, it uses the Greek word that we would translate language. It's a language. And we also do not have the corresponding example of anywhere in the New Testament of believers inspired by the Holy Spirit speaking meaningless babble or meaningless phrases, okay? That's number one. The gift of tongues is a language. Number two, the gift of tongues, however, may very well sound like babble or meaningless sounds. Now, I find this to be a very interesting thing. Based on what the word itself means, it's okay, these are languages, no problem here. But the Bible says that when somebody hears somebody else use this gift, it may sound to the person who hears as if it were babble or meaningless sounds. And where do we understand this from the scriptures? Actually, from many different passages. For example, what was the reaction of the crowd on the day of Pentecost when they heard 120 disciples speaking in tongues? What was their reaction? Acts chapter 2, verse 12 tells us that they were amazed and perplexed. They didn't think that people just started talking in their language, but there was something amazing and perplexing to them about this. Now, secondly, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 says that when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So you kind of understand what's going on here? It's a language, but to those who hear the language, it sounds like mysteries. It sounds like something that nobody can understand, or at least no one who's not familiar with the language that the person is speaking. Next, we see from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 11, that the expectation is that tongues will not be understood. For example, if somebody were to stand up and speak out in tongues, give an utterance of tongues, a prayer or a praise, whatever it is in tongues, the expectation from the New Testament would be that nobody around us could understand. Now, maybe there would be one person here. Maybe if the person was speaking in a particular dialect of language that's spoken in Thailand, maybe Ron could understand. Okay, but the whole idea here is that it's bigger than that. It's a much broader thing. The expectation is, and the verse is here, 1 Corinthians 14, 11 says, the reaction is, I do not know the meaning of the language. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 14 gives a similar idea. It says that when one speaks in tongues, the understanding is unfruitful. Now that's very interesting. Because the other verses speak of what the reaction would be in someone else hearing. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, Paul gives the reaction of the person who speaks. So not only does a listener not know what's being said, But in the same way, the very person speaking does not know what is being said. Again, look at that in verse 14. The understanding is unfruitful. Going on next, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16 says that when one speaks in tongues, others do not understand what you say. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17, when one speaks in tongues, the other is not edified, that is built up or strengthened in their Christian life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18 says that to speak in tongues is the opposite of speaking with understanding. And then one more verse on this. I hope you see I'm kind of belaboring the point a little bit, but I want to make it clear here that the reaction of unbelievers to hearing the gift of tongues may very well be this phrase from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23, you are out of your mind. By the way, that is a portion of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. That is an all-purpose Bible verse that you can quote to people all the time. Just say, friend, I want to quote to you 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. You are out of your mind. Now, the reason why I bring this up is that there is a segment of the Christian world today, and for all I know, it may even be a majority segment. I don't really know how to measure such things. But there is a portion of the Christian world today who regards the gift of tongues as being not given by the Holy Spirit today. And therefore, anyone who would purport to speak in tongues, it's all fake, it's all phony. And one of the things that they say is that if you listen to someone speak in tongues, they say it's babble, it's meaningless, nobody can understand it. It's the repetition of these phrases. I don't get it. And Paul would say, that's the whole point. Paul said, I told you again and again. When a person speaks in tongues, it cannot be understood by the person speaking, or with rare exception, it cannot be understood either by the people who are listening, who are present there. Now, the entirely logical question to say is, then what possible good is the gift of tongues? What possible good is it? I don't understand it. The people around me don't understand it. This is the craziest, strangest gift that God may give to somebody. I can't see the purpose for it. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because it leads right into point three. Here's the third point. When one speaks with the gift of tongues, their words are directed to God and not to people. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the most important principles to understand about the gift of tongues. And if you get this wrong, you get almost everything else wrong about the gift of tongues. God gives the gift of tongues not to communicate on a horizontal level, person to person. God gives the gift of tongues so that people can communicate on a vertical level between themselves and God. What possible scripture justification is this for? Well, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. That is so clear, that is so straightforward, that to me, it's amazing to see the exegetical gymnastics that some people go through to try to get away from that simple statement. But do you see what verse 2 so plainly says? He who speaks in a tongue, in an unknown language, he who speaks in this gift of the Holy Spirit does not speak to men on the horizontal level, but they speak to God. The gift of tongues was not given as a gift to communicate to other people, but a gift to communicate to God. Therefore, if someone speaks in tongues and you don't understand it, there's a sense, and I'll explain more later, but just grant me this little sense. There's a sense in which, who cares if you can't understand it? They're not talking to you. Who cares if it sounds like babble in your ears? They're not talking to you. Now, Some people may object to this, and I've heard objections. They say, no, no, David, this can't be true. Because when the disciples spoke on the day of Pentecost, they preached to the crowd using the gift of tongues. It's right there in Acts chapter 2. And I would say, not the way you're stating it. It is true that the Bible says that in a remarkable outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that people were filled with the Holy Spirit, the 120 disciples present in the upper room, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in unknown tongues. And then people from the crowd who heard what they were saying, no doubt they were saying it loud in their exuberance, when they heard what they were saying, they're saying, isn't this strange? They're speaking from all our different language groups. Now, this is what I want you to understand. A lot of people jump to the conclusion that the whole reason why God gave them the gift of tongues was to preach to that diverse crowd. That's wrong. And I'll tell you why it's wrong. Because it was completely unnecessary. When it came time to preach, Peter preached to them in the common language that they all had, Koine Greek. They didn't need a common language. They had one. In addition, when you look in Acts chapter 2, it says very specifically what they spoke. Well, no, I take that back. It doesn't say specifically. It says generally what they spoke. But look at this direction. Acts chapter 2, verse 11 says this. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. They were praising God. They were speaking forth the wonderful works of God. When it came time to speak to the crowd, to the people, Peter spoke loud and clear in a language that everybody could understand. But what the crowd overheard was they overheard them praising God spontaneously, exuberantly, I don't doubt loudly, because this was a remarkable occasion. And they were able to pick out several of their own languages. By the way, there were 120 disciples speaking who were speaking, present, I should say, 120 disciples present who spoke in tongues. There are about anywhere from 12 to 15 people groups mentioned there. There is absolutely no reason to believe that every one of the 120 was speaking a language that somebody could understand. No doubt, many of them could be understood, but no doubt many of the 120 were praising God in languages that nobody could understand, just as Paul would give description to later. Now, if we go back in our mind to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, that simple principle, he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. This makes perfect sense, especially if you want to bring in Acts chapter 10, verse 46. Acts chapter 10, verse 46 describes the hearing of the gift of tongues when the gift came upon the Gentiles. This is what they said they heard. They said, quote, Acts 10, 46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They were praising God, magnifying him. So again, this is completely consistent with the principle of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2. But because that simple statement is so devastating to the idea that tongues is just a human language spoken for human benefit, that's not what Paul says, but that's what some people hold. Those who believe that the miraculous gift of tongues has passed, they really have trouble with that verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Matter of fact, there's one notable preacher and Bible commentator who actually says at 1 Corinthians 14, 2, that Paul was speaking sarcastically and he really meant the exact opposite of what he wrote. And I just read that and I say, my goodness. Now, I understand in the Corinthian letters, both in 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul has his measure of sarcasm to be sure. But that is a totally unwarranted assumption from the text. That principle stands and extremely firmly. When one speaks with the gift of tongues, their words are directed to God and not to people. Okay, now, number four. The gift of tongues is primarily for personal growth and strengthening or edification, not directly church growth and strengthening. Now, notice those words, not directly for church growth. Because when individual believers are strengthened in their Christian life, there is certainly a sense in which the entire church is strengthened. We understand that, we get that. But in a direct sense, we would say, I would at least hope that at this moment and regularly on Wednesdays and Sundays here at this pulpit, God uses the gift of teaching to strengthen and edify this church family as a whole. But it's not like that with the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is given more for personal edification, for personal strengthening. That's why Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. You do. The plus of that is you do edify yourself. Well, praise the Lord. The minus of it is that you're not edifying others. Now, why is that relevant to Paul? It's relevant for this reason. When we gather together, the emphasis is on building up one another. Doing things are good for us collectively as a group. When you're alone, go for it. Edify yourself. But when we gather together, the emphasis is on collective building up and edification. That's why Paul could say, notice this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Doesn't that blow your mind? Paul not only spoke in tongues, he had the gift of tongues, he used it a lot. And not only did he say, I speak in tongues more than you all, but he says, I thank my God that I do it. This is something good before God. So Paul, if you didn't think that tongues was a great use for a church family as they gather together, when do you pray in tongues? When do you praise God in tongues? He would say, no doubt, in his personal devotional time, his personal relationship with God. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Paul said, I'll do both. I'll sing in the Spirit, and that seems to be a reference that he has to singing in tongues or praying in tongues. I'll pray in the Spirit, but I'll also do it with the understanding. And one other idea here, from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 11, it says, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. In other words, when somebody speaks in tongues in a collective group, the idea isn't, oh, isn't it wonderful so much, more as this is something strange and foreign among us. Therefore, and this leads into point five principles of six, speaking about the gift of tongues, the only way that the gift of tongues is for church growth and strengthening, that is edification, is if the tongue is interpreted. Now notice this, in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says this, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. In other words, I find this fascinating. Depending on your own spiritual background, how comfortable or how uncomfortable you may be with such things, if somebody were to stand up in our midst, and please, I'm not encouraging this right now, but if somebody were to stand up in our midst and start loudly speaking in tongues, if they were to start doing that, some people would be enthralled by it. They'd be like, wow, this is amazing. What an impressive experience. This is really something significant. Some people would be enthralled by it, and I'm not even saying there's necessarily wrong with being enthralled by it, but other people would be shocked or confused by it. What is going on around here? What's happening in the midst of this? I don't understand. Has this church gone crazy? Is God doing strange things in our midst? What's happening? There could be either one, two reactions. I believe that God is not into having either one of those reactions. He doesn't give the gift of tongues to somebody for the sake of entertainment. But Let me speak in tongues now. And it might thrill you to hear you do that. It might entertain you. That's not the reason why God gives the gift of tongues. Nor does he give the gift of tongues to shock or to confuse. He gives it as a gift of communication. That's why I see here, again, let me read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, where he says, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. What I love about verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14 is the idea is that the one who might speak in a tongue interprets, that he prays for the interpretation. In other words, he might circumvent the utterance in tongues altogether and just give the interpretation in a public setting because that's what's going to bless and edify everybody. And that's why Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. He says, in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also. Paul was very strong on this very simple idea. Yes, yes, in the church, in church meetings, the point of it is not tongues. If they are to be present, it should be, in this sense, regulated, and it should only be done with interpretation. But the whole tone, the whole tenor of Paul is, look, have the emphasis on mutual edification, not trying to amaze, not trying to shock, not trying to confuse. Now, you come to all of that, say, okay, David, I kind of get these principles about the gift of tongues. I get that it's a language. I get that even though it is a language, it may sound like babble or meaningless sounds. I get that when someone speaks in tongues, they're speaking to God and not people. I get that the gift of tongues is primarily for personal growth and strengthening. And I get that the only way that the gift of tongues is for church growth and edification is if the gift of tongues is interpreted. And by the way, the interpretation of tongues is an additional spiritual gift in the lists of spiritual gifts given in 1 Corinthians. So not only might God give one person the gift of tongues, but if it were to be used in a public setting, God very well might give someone else the gift of interpretation to be able to interpret it for the gathered group. Okay, David, I understand all that. What possible difference does it make to me? Is this something I'm supposed to want? Is this something I'm supposed to care about? Is this something I'm supposed to seek after? Let me explain it to you this way. I believe that when you understand the purpose of the gift of tongues, it helps you to understand if you should ask God for it. What is the purpose of the gift of tongues? The purpose of the gift of tongues is this: to give you the ability to communicate with God in a way that transcends your own understanding. When I pray in English, I pretty much know what I'm saying. Although, look, I'm just like many people. Sometimes I get a little sleepy and careless in my prayers and just start going off into the blah, blah, blah. But normally, the faculty is within me to understand what I'm saying, and that's it. But I don't know about you, but I face many situations where there has been praise in my heart so big that I can't find the words to articulate it. There have been times in my life where there's been a need, a spiritual issue, some matter of intercession that I can't get my head around. I don't know what to pray, but I trust that the Holy Spirit knows how to make that intercession through me. There's been times when my heart cries out to God and I simply don't have the words. That's when the gift of tongues is a beautiful and powerful blessing to God. Through the years, many people have come up to me and they've said, David, I prayed for the gift of tongues and nothing happened. What's going on? This is what I always say to them. The first thing I usually do is ask them something about their church background. Because there are some people who have such twisted ideas about the gift of tongues that they believe, number one, that unless you speak in tongues, unless you have the gift of tongues, you are not truly filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's questionable whether or not you're really even saved. If that's the idea, you can imagine the pressure that there is upon somebody to speak in tongues. I want to know that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I want other people to know that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I got to speak in tongues. And in this effort to get people to speak in tongues, there are people who actually tell you just what to do. They'll say, okay, here's a phrase, repeat it again. You know, whatever it might be. I could give you a nonsense phrase, but then who cares? Just some nonsense phrase. Just repeat it again and read faster and faster and faster and just get your tongue going, and then God will take over and you'll start speaking in tongues. Brothers and sisters, not only, I think, does that deny the divine origin of the gift of tongues, but can you imagine the weight it puts on somebody to prove something to themselves or to somebody else that they really are filled with the Spirit and can speak in tongues? Now, I don't think anybody should seek the gift of tongues to prove something to themselves or to somebody else. But what I say to people who come up for prayer for this, I simply say this. I say, brother, sister, do you ever experience times where there's more praise in your heart than you can give voice to? That there's intercession that you want to make that you don't have the words for? And I go on and on. Are there ever times like that? And listen, I get two reactions from people. Some people, Jesus loving, walking in the Spirit, beautiful Christians will say, no, David, I just don't really feel like that. Then praise the Lord. Don't worry about it. If you ever do come to that place, then seek the Lord for the gift of tongues. But, when people say, yes, that's me, David, I say, then let's pray and believe that God will give you the gift of tongues. And then I give them a phrase to repeat really fast until they get going. No, I don't do that. But, this brings up an issue. How does it actually work? Look, I can tell you how it worked for me. As a 16-year-old young man, living in my parents' home, of course, still in high school, in Ventura, I knelt next to my bed in my bedroom. I was seeking the Lord for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I just read something that prompted me to ask God if he might give me the gift of tongues. And this is just simply what happened to me, is a phrase or words that I didn't understand came into my mind. Now, some people wait for God to like take them over in an analogous way to like the way a demon might possess somebody. Whoa, I had no control of it. It just happened. Look, I think things like that are not the normal way that the Holy Spirit moves at all. Normally, it works just like language works. A thought, a phrase comes into your mind. And at that moment, I knew I had a choice. I can either say that word or phrase, or I could not say it. It's not like God was going to make me do it. But I could say it or not say it. And if I said it, I knew that it would be my way of saying, Lord, I think you're giving me something. And then I said it, and just all I can say is it just flowed. Nobody prayed for me, though that's not a wrong thing to do. But you know what's something glorious about seeking the Lord, just you and the Lord and receiving a gift like that, is that you know that it's not manipulated by somebody else. You know that the pressure wasn't put on you some way, that it was just some simple, beautiful way that the Holy Spirit said, this is my time to give this gift to my child. I'm going to do that. You say, well, David, when do you use the gift of tongues? David, I've never heard you pray with a gift of tongues from the platform, and you never will. It's not for you that I would do it. It's when I pray to God. So, in my private devotions, when I praise the Lord, when I pray, that I will pray in the gift of tongues. That's not all my prayer, and I won't even necessarily say that I do it every day. But it's just a common thread that's woven throughout that. But I'll tell you another place where I pray with the gift of tongues in a place that you may or may not expect. It's when I'm up here on the prayer team and people come forward for prayer and I go, oh, Lord, that's a big one. I don't know what to pray for that. Oh, Lord. And I will pray quietly under my breath for that person using the gift of tongues. You say, well, David, I've never heard you do. Yes, because I'm not talking to you. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is making intercession, doing exactly what Paul said. I will pray with the understanding and I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding and I'll sing with the Spirit. That same idea. And for me, it's been a beautiful and a wonderful thing in my own Christian life. So, how do you receive the gift of tongues? This would be my sixth point, and I can end it very quickly here. There's no absolutely one way to receive the gift of tongues. There's not like this ABC methodology. But it can be as simple as doing what I did, praying and receiving it in faith. But don't expect an out-of-body experience. This is the gift of languages, and in a sense, tongues works just as a language works. Do you know what a language works on the principle? It works on the principle of agreement. Since we're communicating together here this evening using the English language, we agree that when I use the English word tree, some image, something comes into your mind. You think of a tree. We've agreed that that word represents something. Now, we have that agreement together in the English language. With the gift of tongues, it's an agreement between me and God. But here's the thing. I speak, but God knows what it means. I don't. But I agree, Lord, you know what it means. And if it is Holy Spirit inspired, it'll be perfectly guided to be just what should be prayed, what kind of praise should be offered, what kind of intercession should be given to God. Now, however, don't seek the gift of tongues to prove something. Not to prove something to yourself or to prove something to others. But you should seek the gift of tongues if you feel like you need to communicate with God beyond your understanding. For this, the gift of tongues is of tremendous help and blessing. One last thing. I have prayed with people through the years, and they say, I prayed for the gift of tongues, and God hasn't given it to me. And sometimes they're very grieved about this. All I can say is don't be grieved. If you ask in faith, just leave it up to the Lord. He's sovereign over the gifts. And Paul makes it very clear in one passage. I can't remember if it's 1 Corinthians 12 or 14. He says, do all prophesy. Do all do this gift. Do all speak in tongues. And the rhetorical answer each one says, no. For whatever reason, it's not a gift that God appoints to every person. So, if you pray and God doesn't grant it, or God doesn't grant it right away, well, don't fret. Just say, I've left it before a loving Father in heaven. He knows what he's doing. I can be at peace with that. Now, I earnestly want to recommend to you that if this is something that you want for your life, and I know this sounds a little bit unusual, so I'm not saying that this is the way it should always be done or not done. What I'm saying is, if you want this for your life, seek it from the Lord yourself one-on-one first. In other words, and this is the unusual part, especially for a church like ours, I don't think we should have a big prayer team for people to come up and receive the gift tonight. Now, again, not because that's bad. In certain times, certain situations, it might be exactly the right thing to do. So I'm not trying to say that's bad at all. But I myself and Pastor Tommy as well, we've just had this sense in the Holy Spirit, that we should encourage you to seek the Lord for it yourself if you sense from the Lord that it might be something that God has for you. If you don't have that sense that this is something God, it's just, well, David, that's whatever. It seems kind of weird to me. I'm not really interested. Then fine, praise the Lord. Don't worry about it. You are not a substandard Christian. Do you get that? I hope you get that. You are not a substandard Christian because you don't have every spiritual gift. Nobody has every spiritual gift. But if your heart is stirred and you think, yeah, maybe this is something the Lord has for me, then instead of praying with someone about it, why don't you first find some time one-on-one with the Lord and see what he might bestow upon you personally like that. Now, we are going to have our prayer team up here, and there'll be prayer for anything you want. And you know, it's not like we're going to probably send you to your room or something. Maybe we will. You come up for prayer. No, for that, you go to your prayer closet right now, like you're a child getting sent to your room. But no, what prayer team will be up here to pray for whatever you please. But I encourage you, if that's your prayer need, seek it from the Lord one-on-one first. Father, I pray that you would make us more and more. And Lord, I say that, Lord, because I see it present among us, that we are a congregation walking in the Spirit. But Lord, every one of us, every man, every woman here tonight, we would say, we want that more, Lord. And I pray that whatever ignorance there may be about spiritual gifts, whatever obsession there may be about spiritual gifts, whatever fear there may be about spiritual gifts, that in the blessed name of Jesus and by the working of the Holy Spirit of God, you would have that evaporate from us, and that we would just grow in a free, beautiful, biblical walk in the Spirit. Help us to do it, Lord, and to bring you glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.